T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Can I talk while this is playing? I guess I have to. It's Tuesday. Messed up show today. Now, Jolly Ned had a 2 o'clock press conference yesterday. Why is he having another one at 4 o'clock today? Why is he doing that? I just think he can't stand to not get the huge audience here in the afternoon. So he's got a 4 o'clock today. He likes to come in to this territory and like an animal that goes around the yard, leaving its mark. That's what I think is going on. Oh, everything is about power and influence in this world, isn't it? I've got a couple of calls on the rant line today that we'll play, you know, we'll play later during the 5 o'clock hour. But people get so mad. I said one little thing yesterday, and that was about the election, which it appears that Biden is going to win. And I get phone calls on that. Why do you get mad because I state what appears to be the case from my perspective and a lifetime of loving politics and watching politics? I wasn't born yesterday. I don't get fooled because of some manipulation that is the most obvious thing in the world. I'm watching all the signs. There is nothing right now that would make you think that Trump is going to win this election. That's just a fact. And I don't want you to end up like all those crying teenagers and 20-somethings. All those, what are they, Gen Ys? I don't want you to end up like them, all hysterical, because you've been living in some sort of delusional bubble where you don't look at reality. The president, when he did the debate a couple of weeks ago, was that 2 weeks ago today? What did I say? My heart sank. I was disgusted. He's throwing away his chance to turn the election in his favor. He was losing at that point, but he was down 8 or 9 in the polls. Okay, you don't believe the polls. Fine. Those are scientific measures of what's going on in the marketplace of ideas, and I understand you're suspicious of them and you don't trust them. Because you think last time that they were all messed up, and they were a little messed up last time. But it was an incredibly close election. Incredibly close. And he just barely squeaked through. It was the perfect storm. A miracle. And the thing is, what people are throwing at me is these arguments that just don't wash to me. I don't want Trump to lose. I want him to win. I will vote for Trump. But I'm not going to. And my question is, would you rather if I just sling the bull and tell you what you want to hear? Because I know there's other talk hosts who do this. People keep sending me videos of other talk hosts who are doing what are obviously deceptive segments in my mind. Grasping at straws and stuff that looks real that isn't real, as far as I can tell. It's just my judgment. It's not what I want. My judgment is that Trump is not only going to lose, but what we're looking at is a potential landslide election. like one we haven't seen since Reagan. That's the kind of washing out of office that the Republicans might face. And you might as well be ready for it as a possibility if you can separate your emotions from your analytical self. Because this isn't sports. This isn't just rooting for a team. This is more important even than what happens to the Patriots or the whatever the team is you root for, the Yankees or the Red Sox. And you know, one of the things I want to do on the show is have us all become more sophisticated about politics and be more analytical about it. I don't want to just be a rooting section where we blindly root for the team and fool ourselves about what our side does wrong and just make it out that the other side's 100% wrong and we're perfect. Because I don't view it like that. I view it that Republicans and Democrats are both horrible forces in the world. And I vote for Republicans because they're better than the horrible Democrats. But that doesn't mean the Republicans aren't horrible, too, because they're rigging machines. They are politicians. They're liars and cheaters who don't care about us. They just want power. So I don't know what you want me to tell you. If you just want me to sweet talk you and tell you, I get mad, I'll tell you. When I hear talk hosts, especially the nationally syndicated ones, just ignoring obvious silly arguments that they put on their airwaves to keep you hyped up, because that's where the ratings are. The easy ratings, the easy money, if you're on the air, is to say to the fanatics who are mad about hearing the truth. And it's just my truth. I'm not saying I know better than anybody else. I'm just saying when I look, I've been reading polls for decades. Polls can be biased a little bit. They can be off a little bit. They sometimes miss it a little bit. But on the whole, if you don't make them into the Bible and you just are guided by them and watch how they move over time, what you will see over the last 2 weeks since Trump made a disastrous decision to blow up that debate and then got sick and handled in a way that was, you know, further alienating to the uninvested in saving the Republic from Democrats. Well, he's just gone from being down 7, 8, 9 points to being down 10, 11, 12 points. And the swing states have moved against him. So I can't come on the air and tell you otherwise, because that's the truth. Not only that, the fundraising for Republicans is bad. The senators are, you know, are getting nervous now in those states where they thought they were going to be fine. Biden's out there campaigning in states he didn't think he was going to be able to campaign in because he wasn't going to have a chance. Now he's going to have a chance. So he's can't, you know, like, it's not just the polls. All the indicators are that Republicans are in big trouble in this election. And there could be long-term damage. I mean, this is my real concern, is how long do we have to wait for the party to be rebuilt? You know, it could be like Nixon. And fortunately, after Nixon, it didn't take that long. But anyway, that's my opinion, and I wanted to see what you think. Would you rather that I sweet-talk you and tell you things I don't think are true? I hope I'm wrong. I don't care if I'm wrong. I'm excited if I'm wrong. I want Trump to win. I just don't see any signs. I see no reason to think that's what's going to happen. Joe, New Hampshire. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I wasn't going to call until I heard your monologue the last few minutes. And I agree with you 100% on your sizing things up based on what's happened the last 2 weeks since the debate. Yeah, it was a missed opportunity. He should have let Biden talk a lot more. But Chris Wallace helped out a lot. That's where I think you're wrong about Chris Wallace. But Trump missing an opportunity. But, you know, whatever. The facts are what they are. You know, whoever's to blame, it is what it is. But here are the two things I want to throw out there for you. You can't deny this. I think Trump knows he's in trouble. He's been waiting on the Durham report. Oh, everybody's been waiting for months now. And it came out recently on Axios. Durham, now this could be fake news, but Durham is saying...
No, I think this is true.
I think Durham said, was quoted as saying he doesn't want to come out, Barr doesn't want to have Durham come out with the report before the election because he doesn't want to make it look political. Well, between you and me, that's asinine because that's all the Democrats do. Look what they put Trump through in the 2018 election.
But that's another, Joe, listen to this. To me, that's another piece of evidence that everybody is closing up shop. They're done with this election. And the only reason he would have released it in advance and done the political thing was if he thought there was going to be a return on that investment. But I think everyone in Washington thinks the election's over and it's too late to save Trump and to save the Senate.
The other major thing that just developed this past week after that is that Trump has declassified with no redactions. The no redactions is the key because they have been dribbing and drabbing some things out with 98% redaction. Now, if those documents come out with 0 or only 1% redactions, it's a possibility it could make a lot of noise. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it could. But you understand the dynamic of what you're doing is grasping at straws, trying to figure out a way for Trump to win. And if that's where we are, that's all. I just want people to understand that and to be mature, as mature as you are, and be able to admit it to themselves that, it doesn't look good.
Well, I think the whole point is all the information or most of the information that voters should have at their disposal to make a honest and informed decision have not been revealed about the Bidens, about the Clintons, about the whole thing.
Yeah. That's what happens when you've got a media machine that's partnered with the Democrats. I mean, what are you going to do? But these are all baked in things that Trump as president is as well situated as anybody to try to fight. Nick calling from Granby. Hi, Nick.
Hey, I'm hearing what you're saying is very sobering to hear. I think we're all very sober in the state. You know, we get kind of sheltered in Connecticut from what the rest of what goes on in the country. You know how like these elections happen. I always feel like we're left out of the party. And I'm just hoping this time around maybe it's the same thing. You know, we don't get a lot of energy around here for Trump, so, or Republicans in general. So maybe we're not feeling the energy that I see when I see some of these rallies and the energy is there and the smiles are there and people are energized. But I've been thinking a lot about what you've been talking about lately. It's a sobering thing, but there really has been, you know, all these things aside, I mean, like with the last caller, all these great little nuggets that we've had come out over the past 6 months or so and all the great successes that has happened, especially with the Middle East, per se, and the...
Yeah, but have you seen that get any news coverage?
No, but that's exactly my point. I mean, it makes me sick. I know what he's done with the Middle East, and it's an amazing feat, and it's just been quiet. So to see Joe Biden up on their stage talking yesterday about how he couldn't even remember the name of the last guy he ran against, Mitt Romney, and he didn't know he was running for president, it's really disappointing because that's the alternative. I think if people digested the this amazing amount of work that's happened over the last 4 years and didn't get distracted by all this piling on by the media, as much as they don't want to believe that, especially the last couple of weeks, they're just in an all-out, you know, full-blown, full-court press to keep everything quiet, that he's done well. And it's really gross.
It is. And the media machinery, the fact that we don't actually have a news media, Nick, and the news media views its job as trying to sway the election by power. And I don't even know if that's what they're doing. Thank you for the call. I don't even know if that's what they're doing, or they're just trying to keep a frantic pace out there so people watch their TV shows and read their newspapers. You know, that might be what they're doing, too. But the media is so biased in the coverage that I don't see any other way after all these years. And then Trump, you know, Trump, his last chance, I said 2 weeks ago, was tonight. I said 2 weeks ago, and tonight, 2 weeks ago, he blew it. And it's been downhill from there in terms of where the energy is going. That's what my antennae tell me from all the inputs I'm getting, not my preference. Oh, hang on, Greg. We'll get to you after we take a quick break. 860-522-9842. This is WTIC. WTIC. Just talking about reality for a little while. A little reality. Greg calling from Waterbury. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Todd, I just wanted to follow up with your comments. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, the same way you feel about this election. I think it's just, you know, I think I was hoping Trump would come out with some kind of plan for health care. And that never seemed to happen. I thought that was one of the weaknesses in the debate that they have. They've been criticizing Obamacare, but they Republicans and Trump have not provided an alternative to that plan. What do you think about that?
I don't know that health care is the big thing per se. I just think that what Trump doesn't do is the obvious, easy things because he just wants to do it his way. You know, he's childlike in his devotion to whatever his instincts tell him. So my sense is that there's a room full of advisors. He has top-notch, sophisticated people. Like Chris Christie is one of the smartest political communicators in the world. And Chris Christie was briefing and training Trump for the debate. And I guarantee you that nothing that Trump did that night had anything to do with what Christie and others were coaching Trump on doing. And so Trump's strength, like all of us, is his weakness. Two sides of the same coin. His strength is he's able to stand there and just keep doing what he's doing while he's being pummeled by, like, he declares war on the deep state and goes after Comey and goes after the spy agencies, and they come after him, and they orchestrate the whole insiders of the government to destroy him, and he keeps doing what he's doing, and that's beautiful. But that same trait allows him to self-destruct in an election and just go with what he feels. And I think he knows it's over and knew it was over last week, and that's why he just went wild at the debate 2 weeks ago.
You know, I'm not sure I interpreted his actions at the debate the same way you did. Like, I the way I looked at it as what he was trying to do is he was trying to throw Biden off kilter and trying to keep him from throwing those little sound bites that he wanted in. And I think also based upon some of Biden's previous you know, mess ups in some of the things he's done on the campaign trail, there's a question about his mental fitness. I'm not sure if you saw that comment that Giuliani.
No, but I agree with you, Greg. I'm sorry, I've got to hold you because we've got an emergency broadcast test we're going to do. But I agree with what you're saying, that Trump went into the debate trying to disrupt Biden, but he forgot about making sure anyway, thank you for that. I just think he blew it. Whatever his motive was, I agree with you on his motive. He was trying to shake Biden to make Biden look bad, but he went over the top and made himself look bad. Kevin Hartford, hi.
Hey, Todd. This is an interesting take that you're having here. I mean, Donald Trump, he's doing one or two rallies a day in front of thousands of people. He's got these rolling rallies that are happening all over the country every single weekend. You look at the Supreme Court, he's going to have three great justices there. I mean, there's zero enthusiasm on the Democrat side. All the enthusiasm is on Trump's side. I don't – like, he has lost zero support and has gained a ton. I don't know where you're coming up with this.
Oh, well, go to Real Clear Politics and click on the – realclearpolitics.com. Click on the polls button, and they have aggregated all the polls by day that come out all around the country. And what you will see is a continuous trend, especially over the last 2 weeks, of an expanding base of support for Joe Biden as the election runs away in the Democrat direction. And we can have a whole debate about polls, which everybody wants to do, but they do indicate the direction things are going. Sorry, Kevin, I've got to get to a news update. Thank you for the call, 860-522-9842. This is WTIC. So, yeah, Kevin from Hartford said, I don't know what you're talking about regarding Trump. He's got all these rallies with thousands of people to show up. Yeah, he had thousands of people showing up last time, and he he squeaked by in the tightest of races, where he lost the election by a few million votes and managed to, I'm not saying this is a negative. It was incredibly shrewd, I think. They knew exactly what they were trying to do in terms of making sure they got the advantage from the Electoral College. But still, look how close that election was, and all that energy was there with his events. Mike Stafford Springs, hi.
Hey, Todd, how's it going? I called you last week during the whole COVID.
Yes, sir.
Will it help it? Will it hurt it? I just wanted to bring up the point. I listened last week, and you had a tremendous gentleman from Suffolk University that was a pollster on there. And the thing that stood out to me the most, Todd, was he said they're the only ones that put all the candidates on there. So how can the polls be accurate if there's a lot of Biden people you get in the poll that would really go to Jorgensen or any of the other major candidates listed on the ballot? Don't you agree?
I don't try to outsmart the pollsters. What I think is all the pollsters, for the most part, are like him, like the guy we had on Thursday from Suffolk University, Dave Palaiologos, that they take their profession very seriously. They are using all their knowledge to try to make polls that will be the most accurate so that they can win that competition and be stars in the world of polling and make a lot of money for their companies or for their schools
of course.
What have you.
So
I just think they know the science of it. So they know how to design their polls to make up for whatever deficiencies a layperson like you or me might see in their poll. That they would have an answer if we were talking to them, and they would tell us why they've made it work, that
definitely,
they're doing their poll the way they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that your bit with him proved that, because he was a very knowledgeable gentleman. But wouldn't you call them experts in that case?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at what we've seen with all the experts at the CDC and the World Health Organization in the last year, you know?
Well, experts should not be trusted on face value. And in that way, I'm with you. I think that's a really good point where you're saying. So this whole mythology that it's Trump's job to trust the experts, you listen to the experts to hear what they say, but you don't listen to the experts as in do what an expert tells you. Experts are experts with a very narrow view of the world. If you're an epidemiologist, you're an expert in disease. That doesn't mean you're prepared to make a political decision, which is about, okay, what does the expert tell me about the disease? What is it? And then on the other side, what does the expert tell me about the economy? And how do I weigh those two things? And how do I thread the needle so the people of my state or my country do the best? So the conversations the media has, these are all stupid things. But I'm telling you, there is not one piece of evidence out there that I can see that would indicate that Trump is going to win the election. And I'm not just looking at polls. And that's all. So
I respect you for being honest, because that's, you know, in today's media world, that's a huge thing. And I want to know what the seventh grader has to say, Todd.
Oh, yeah. So you know what? we'll see if we can get James to address that this week. Thank you, Mike. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. We'll talk about this more coming up. But Kevin Brookman is joining us now from WeThePeopleHartford.com. He's the blogger who is the primary source of information in the city of Hartford for details of what's going on with the police department and more, you know, important stories. And Kevin, there's a crime wave, it seems, in Hartford that's even hitting the police department. How are you, sir?
Pretty good today, Todd. You?
Good. Nice to have you here. So what's going on with Hartford? Is the city falling apart in some way?
Well, if you listen to City Hall, nothing's going on. You know, we've had the last week of September, there was a 700% increase in shootings. 700%. And not a word.
Wait, say, what period of time again?
Roughly the last week of September.
Okay.
Through October 3rd. There was a 700% increase in shootings for that week. And these are HPD's own numbers, which are posted online in their CompStat report. And for the month of September, there was a 200% increase in shootings for the entire month. And nobody was saying anything. And once I started posting it on social media and listing all the shootings, the mayor had a special meeting Saturday afternoon with the command staff at the PD, all the specialized lieutenants and captains and above were brought into a special meeting, I think, so the mayor could look like he was doing something to address the shooting. Mm-hmm. But this is not a, you know, this happens every year. Every summer we see the spike in shootings. Usually there's a summer initiative or a plan for dealing with it. I've got Hartford police officers calling me and saying, do I have any idea what the plan is? So I was like, no, talk to your chief. And they say, well, we never see the chief. He's been gone. He's on vacation now. We have no idea where he is. There's no vision. There's no planning. You know, several years ago when the shootings were spiking like this, Governor Malloy sent Jim Rivella in from the state's attorney's office to deal with shootings. And Rivella came up with the plan for the shooting task force, which was a coalition between basically all the agencies involved, federal agencies, state police, corrections, parole. They all got together. They started focusing like a laser beam on the shootings. Who are the shooters? What are they doing? Where are they coming from? How do we stop them? And it was very successful. All that has been dismantled under Chief Thode. None of that exists.
All right, hang on a sec, Kevin, because I'm confused. Is there something unusual going on right now with a crime wave? Or are you saying, oh, it's the same old, this happens every year?
Something's definitely happening to see a 700% jump in the shootings. But the mayor's response is, oh, it's probably COVID. It's COVID-related. Now I thought
COVID related was making crime go in the other direction. I thought COVID was calming crime, and that the problem we have now is that because the police see themselves as being under attack and politically, and as a result of that attack, they're kind of doing a little brownout. They're not as quick to respond to
an
incident.
The Hartford police shooting put out a statement last night, and that was part of it, which I spoke to someone, I told them I thought it was inappropriate, but they said it's because of the crime bill that police have slowed down. You know, I don't think we can blame that on our cops that they've slowed down or ignoring shootings. I just think
I wouldn't say necessarily because of the crime bill, but maybe the larger national story where they see themselves, one, being in danger because of what's going on in certain cities. I think that national story is kind of permeating every police force. And I've talked to cops who say, hey, if I'm driving down this. What's that?
No, I think that's part of the effect when you put a hastily devised bill together and try to, you know, paint a wide brush for everything the police do and take away discretion. And granted, yes, there are some problems out there, but I don't think the crime bill was what should have been done, and to basically handcuff the cops. You know, but that's the way.
Yeah, well, I think everybody agrees with you that what they do is they pass legislation that's good for them politically, the politicians, not what's going to improve the situation. And they've created a gulf now. And for people who are putting themselves at physical risk, I think you've got to be really careful with the way you discuss things publicly and also with the policy changes you make. And you've got to embrace everybody and get everyone on board with this is how we're going to tackle it. And if cops feel like they're being hung out to dry, like they're the scapegoats, then they're driving around saying, oh, I just see something that looks like trouble. Well, don't stop. Keep going. I'm not going to pull in there and risk an incident where people are looking at me and telling me I'm the problem.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is between Black Lives Matter and everything else and the things they publicize. You know, how many people can you name one police officer that's been shot and killed in the last year? Nobody. But they can tell you names of people that are killed, whether they're innocent or committing criminal acts, whatever. They can rattle those names right off. What about we start paying attention to police officers that give their lives in the line of duty? But that's a topic for another day.
That is part of this whole conversation. But anyway, so we're talking to Kevin Brookman, WeThePeopleHartford.com. It's the blog where you go to find out what's happening in the city. And the reports are from the city that there's trouble going on. And this even included a break-in at the, what is it, where the evidence is stored? Kevin?
The impound lot it's basically evidence, you know, dirt bikes, ATVs, they confiscate cars that are involved in homicides or hidden, like that, they're all stored in a fenced in area, which apparently isn't too secure because they were able to get in there and steal a lot of the dirt bikes out of there last week. But that's enough to do because, you know, as much as they talk about transparency, that's the furthest thing from the truth nowadays at HPD. I posted on as soon as I got the call, I tried to verify.
Kevin, you're breaking up a little bit, by the way. If there's a corner of the room you can go to where you know you have a better signal or whatever, do that, please. But finish your thought.
Yeah, as soon as I got the phone call about the impound being broken into, I tried confirming it, you know, with the spokesperson for the Hartford Police. I still haven't gotten a call back about it.
Really? So is your feeling that this is a problem in the mayor's office and that the mayor is distracted or his health issues or?
The mayor is planning his next step on his political career, and I doubt he wants anything embarrassing or anything to shine a negative light. I think a lot of this.
So he just wants to escape, is the theory, to some Washington job or something like that?
That's the plan, from what I understand.
Okay. Yeah. That's always been the rap on the mayor, is that he's a a stepping stone city
climber.
And a stepping stone job, a ladder climber. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want us to know, Kevin?
Well, I just on like the thing on the impound lot, they wouldn't even comment on it. I posted on the blog, and I had somebody from the police department call me, a high ranking officer, say, "Why are we not hearing about this? I got to read this news on your blog. And I'm not supposed to be telling my guys to look for these vehicles stealing these ATVs and stuff." He said, "Why do I have to read about on your blog when our own department doesn't even tell us these things?" And that's just a total lack of leadership there.
Well, no, this is a total breakdown, is what you're describing, where nobody's doing anything to actually lead the city forward and to deal with problems as they pop up.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. And we've got from my understanding right now, is the police chief is on vacation. How do you go on vacation when your shootings are at 700% increase? That's just ridiculous.
Well, that sounds like the time to get out of town, actually.
Yeah, unless he's out. Maybe he's out applying for other jobs. I don't know. But, you know, it's just between the accident and everything else, there's been no leadership out of this police chief. And it's time that Mayor Bronin starts looking at getting a chief in there that can actually lead the department and, you know, be a mentor to these officers instead of, you know, being hidden away.
All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff. Get over to Kevin's blog, wethepeoplehartford.com. Kevin, thanks for dropping by. Good to talk with you again.
Okay. Take care, Todd. Bye.
All righty. Kevin Brookman with a bad connection today from wethepeoplehartford.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll take more phone calls on Kevin's issues or on the Trump thing. I know it upsets a lot of people when I say what I think is happening in the presidential race, but I think that's why I'm here. I think I'm here to tell you what I see and think and what I feel in real time. And I do feel that not only is Trump losing the election, but he's been losing it for sure over the last couple of weeks, that his behindness is getting solidified right now. And I hope I'm wrong. What a glorious thing it'll be if I'm wrong. But it's not looking that way to me. 860-522-9842. And by the way, the other part of that, of course, is that it's still 3 weeks till the election. So there could be new dynamics that pop up and take control. Quick break. We'll talk more WTIC. So I got this email from Eva. Todd, one thing you are not considering when looking at the poll numbers, the assumption you are making is that the people who are being polled are all 100% honest with their answers. I know of some who give the opposite answers. Yeah, this is all stuff I've been hearing for 4 years. I assume it's true that it's something living inside of 1% of the population that is shy. There's this theory about shy Trump voters who lie to the pollsters or won't do a poll. All this was there last time, too, these claims. And Last time it was a close enough election, Trump losing the popular vote by over 3 million votes, that those shy voters were just enough in just the right places. This was the key to Trump's victory last time, was just enough people. It was less than 10,000 people that gave him Michigan. That's how close it was. Despite all the big crowds, despite all the people who weren't telling the pollsters the truth, the pollsters also have had 4 years to figure out how to adjust to those dynamics and get better at doing polls in an age where people don't have home phones and they're on cell phones and it's harder to get them to pick up and it's harder to make sure you're getting a good balance. So there are all those factors as well. Steve in Torrington, hi.
Hey, Todd. Aren't there experts in Keynesian economics? And wouldn't you say Milton Friedman is an expert in economics? And wouldn't they have opposing views on what the facts are about economics and what is true?
Yes, and they also have ideologies.
Well, ideology can be proven out to be factual based on facts, and ideology can be proven out to be based on fallacy. Communists have an
ideology, but what I'm saying is they might bias their outcomes. But how are you tying this into our conversation on polls or what?
Yes, because the word expert's been bantied around, and I could care less about experts. I've heard experts
through
history make predictions, and their predictions have been wrong over time, like the experts have said.
Yeah, my point isn't about experts, so I'm with you. My point is not about experts. My point is that I look at all of the evidence coming from the marketplace. Markets give feedback and information all the time, and if you are listening to what this market is telling you, or I should say, I am listening to what this marketplace is telling me, and what I am concluding from this market, being an observer of elections and somebody who used to work on campaigns when I was young, that what I feel is an election running away from Republicans, and Republicans in danger not just of that Trump's going to lose, but also of losing the Senate. And maybe having the brand tainted. Go ahead.
What you're hearing and the propaganda, yes.
If you think I'm that, Stephen, do you think I'm stupid and I just listen to liberal, like I put on MSNBC and I say, oh, Trump's going to lose? I mean, that's not what I'm doing.
No,
I'm telling you, I'm listening to input.
I listen to your program because I think you're very intelligent, but I think intelligent people can be wrong because things have changed so much in the environment that they're not adapting to the changes.
Well, the change I see is a venomous half of the country that hates Donald Trump, and they just are dying to get him out of office. And I and the media pounding him every day for years. I don't know how we beat that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.